Eddie, the Junior Year. Copyright 2018 by Dr. Robert E. Z. Chapter 1. Autumn Semester, Part 1. With the summer now behind everyone, it's back to school again. Eddie and Kathy wish that they could extend the summer for a few more weeks, but that is not going to happen. What makes it worse is that, this year, the weather is still warm outside, and it feels more like summer than autumn when school starts. The good side of having warmer weather this autumn is that they can spend more time in the pool. And since the track season does not start until winter, they will have more free time during the autumn semester. This year, Eddie and the tribe are all upperclassmen. They made it through their sophomore year, but not without going over a few hurdles set in place by Mr. Crum, the principal. Mr. Crum has tried everything he could to interfere with the track team. Mr. Zunday, the athletic director, answered Mr. Crum's hurdles with an airborne discus. Air superiority won, and Mr. Zunday walked away last year with the upper hand. After the dust cleared, it was obvious that Mr. Crum's ground war never stood a chance. But the war is not over. Given the chance, Mr. Crum will likely antagonize any athlete he can. On the track, Eddie and the tribe set the performance standard that others must strive to meet if they want to be stars on the track team. Also setting the standard for the state, the tribe has raised the bar a few notches. Kathy and Paula will return to the team as seniors, also raising the level of competition statewide. They are all expected to return to the state invitational meets this year, raising the standard for anyone who dares to make the challenge. To complicate matters, Eddie has found out that he could have taken the gold medal in the discus this past spring at the state invitational meet. Mr. Fraser and Mr. Zunday have discovered that Mark, Kathy, Paula, and Erika are also excellent at the discus. The uncovering of this previously unknown talent will cause Mr. Fraser and Mr. Zunday to make a few changes during tryouts this coming spring. The first day of school arrives, and it is anything but business as usual for the seniors. Kathy, who now owns a Porsche 914, will occasionally drive to school. Kathy's and Paula's new wardrobes will certainly turn a few heads. While the seniors are concerned about applying to colleges and universities, the freshmen will be trying to figure out where their classrooms are. Then, there are the sports teams. The returning students will move up the ladder, while the freshmen will be vying for a place on a team. The teachers and coaches see it as the same old situation, but with a new group this year. Like last year, Eddie walks to Kathy's house before school. He arrives earlier than usual today, only because his mother wanted to make sure he got to school on time. Last year, Eddie and Kathy walked to school. This year, even though the school is a mere half mile away, Kathy is driving, only because she can. She and Eddie could just as easily walk to school, but not today. Kathy and Eddie get into the Porsche 914, and Kathy starts the engine. Eddie mentions to her, "The engine sounds really good." Kathy replies, "Yeah, I know. I have a very special mechanic who keeps it running perfectly for me." Eddie suggests, "You should have him change the oil sometime. There's been almost 1,000 miles put on the engine since it was worked on." Kathy remarks, "Yeah. We should do that sometime." Kathy backs out of the driveway and drives down the street. It does not take Kathy very long to get to the high school. Eddie and Kathy could have run to the school faster than she took to drive there. Kathy finds a parking place right up in front, in the end space, minimizing the risk that anyone will ding her doors. They get out of her car and walk to the lawn in front of the school. Since they are early, there is no need to go inside. They'll just wait outside until the rest of the tribe arrives, and then they'll all go in together. From where they are sitting, they see a few of the students walking to school checking out Kathy's new Porsche. Bobby B. is next to arrive. He lives in the same neighborhood as Kathy and walks to school. Seeing Eddie and Kathy, Bobby B. asks, "Have you seen Erika yet?" Eddie replies, yeah. She ran inside as fast as she can to make sure the shot put is still in good condition. Bobby B replies, yeah, right. And, I want to see those stopwatches sparkly bright all year. Kathy replies, no, we haven't seen her yet. But, none of the buses have arrived. A few more students drive up, along with a few more walkers. The buses start to arrive, and the tribe is reunited one by one. Johnson gets off the bus, and meets up with the group. It is odd to see Johnson arrive alone. Barbara has graduated, and is now at the university. Barbara will certainly be missed. Mitchell and Amber get off another bus. Amber is a freshman this year, and is glad to again be in the same school as Mitchell. Walking up, Amber tells Kathy, nice outfit. Kathy replies, thank you. Kathy's first compliment on her drawstring shorts and her cut-off shirt, as expected, comes from the only other female around. Tessa, who lives within walking distance of the school, walked to Hoffa's house instead so they can take the bus together. Tessa arrives next with Hoffa. Brayden and Wendy arrive shortly after Hoffa and Tessa. As predicted, Tessa and Wendy also compliment Kathy on her new outfit. While everyone is talking, Bobby B watches for Erica as each bus pulls in. Erica finally arrives, and Bobby B runs up to greet her. They walk back to the tribe as Mark and Paula arrive. Erica checks out Kathy's and Paula's outfits, but doesn't say anything. She is seriously wondering where Kathy and Paula got their outfits, and it's a good thing for Kathy and Paula that she doesn't ask. An unquestionably vague answer would be waiting for her. With the whole tribe reunited, they all head inside. Eddie, Mark, Brayden, Johnson, Mitchell, Bobby B, and Wendy all compare their schedules. Again, they are all in the same section, which means they have all their core classes together. Likewise, Kathy and Paula are in the same sections, as is Hoffa, Tessa, and Erica. There is no longer any doubt that Mr. Zunde has something to do with the scheduling process. It seems that Mr. Zunde is the principal for the athletes, and Mr. Crum is the principal for everyone else. The bell finally rings, telling everyone they need to get to class. Kathy and Paula head down the hall, and everyone they pass checks out their outfits. Either of them could have easily won the award for best dressed after this morning's reactions to their new wardrobes. Eddie and the rest of the juniors head to their first class, except for Mitchell. Mitchell takes a detour to show Amber where her classroom is. For Eddie, this year, the first class is again English. They get to the classroom and take their usual seat near the window. They sit and wait for the teacher to arrive, who is a bit late. Brayden points out to the group, wow. We lucked out this year. Chucky and O'Brien are both in our section. Mark asks, how is that lucking out? Brayden replies, two asses to conveniently kick at once. Think gym class, bro. Think gym class. Mark replies, yeah. I can see how gym class could get interesting. Eddie grins and remarks, they must have let the little Chucky out of jail. Mark comments, gym class won't be too much better than jail for Chucky. The teacher, Miss Starr, finally walks in. They are all glad to see Miss Starr as their English teacher again. Miss Starr receives a standing ovation before she even says a word. She wipes the tear rolling down her face and is at a loss for words. It's not every teacher in the school that receives that sort of welcome from her class. After she composes herself, Miss Starr calls the roll. When Miss Starr gets to Ed's name, she tells him, congratulations on a great performance last year. Eddie replies, thank you. Miss Starr announces to the class, for those of you who do not know, Eddie, Mark, Axel, Eric, Gary, and Robert all took home several medals in last year's state track meet. The class claps, except for Chucky, who pouts like a 4-year-old. Miss Starr's announcement is all Jimmy O'Brien needed to hear to convince him to try out for track again. Miss Starr continues calling the roll, seeing many familiar faces. When she is finished, class gets underway. The tribe again has lunch together. This gives them the middle of the day to spend with each other, and is their time to sit and relax. While they are eating lunch, Kathy's and Paula's outfits are attracting a lot of attention. With shirts cut somewhere between their bra and belly button, and drawstring shorts, it is difficult for anyone not to notice, including Mr. Crumb and some of the other administrators. Eddie and most of the tribe bring their own lunch. They prefer healthier meals more conducive to building muscle and increasing athletic performance as opposed to cafeteria food. Eddie still takes his vitamins and other supplements and has made great physical gains over the last few years. And Bobby B brings what would be considered a few lunches to anyone else. After lunch, they go outside on the lawn to relax. Not surprisingly, the Amazon rumor has made its way through the school. What is surprising, however, is that it took so long for that to happen. The rumor has made its way to the other side of the state faster than it made its way through the school. The tribe, as it was named by Anthony Ambrosini 2 years ago, is now known throughout the state as Mr. Fraser's Amazon Tribe, or simply, the Amazon Tribe. While they are sitting on the lawn, some of the students point out the tribe to some of the freshmen. Some of the freshmen wonder why Amber, who is sitting along with the tribe, is so special and gets to sit with them. At the end of the day, the final bell rings and everyone heads home. Kathy heads to her car to wait for Eddie. While she is waiting for him, quite a few of her friends check out her Porsche 914 and ask her all about it. Kathy must have told the story about a dozen times today. She's glad when Eddie walks up. Now they can leave, and she can get some peace. But it's not that simple. Eddie is now fielded with questions about the car. Eddie, knowing Kathy wants to leave, tells the three people standing around, it's a Gymkhana car. It's been heavily modified for agility racing. It will kick the crap out of anything in this parking lot and outmaneuver any police car in this state. No one dares to ask any further questions, so Kathy and Eddie get to drive away. Eddie, however, by using the word racing, just accidentally seeded a rumor about Kathy's 914. Kathy and Eddie drive to Kathy's house, where they take advantage of the warmer weather and go for a swim in the pool. They stay in the pool for a while, but Kathy has to get out because her eyes are burning from the water. Eddie asks her, "Are you okay?" Kathy tells him, "Yeah. My eyes have been burning from the water in the last few days. The pool guy said the chlorine was too high, so he lowered it." Eddie tells Kathy, "Well, if you want, I can check the water sometime." Eddie cleans and maintains a few pools in his neighborhood, so he is quite familiar with pool chemistry. Kathy replies, "My parents said the pool guy says he almost has it under control." Kathy and Eddie dry off and go inside. Kathy gets her recording of the Celine Dion version of The Power of Love and plays it on the stereo. Kathy tells Eddie, "Please dance with me. I'd rather dance right now to my song." Kathy and Eddie dance to Kathy's song. When the song is over, she plays it a second and third time. While they are dancing, Kathy sings the song to Eddie, which she has learned after hearing it more than 100 times. Kathy whispers to Eddie, "Do you remember when we first heard that song? And the girl was nice enough to play it again for us." Eddie replies, "Yeah. We were on the beach. They were sitting next to us." Kathy replies, "That was so nice of them to play it for us again." They dance to the song one more time. But then, the garage door opens, and Kathy has to put away her recording. Since the song is from the future, she can't risk anyone else hearing it. Eddie asks Kathy, "Hey, do you want to go for a bicycle ride?" Kathy suggests, "I think I'd rather go for a walk." Kathy and Eddie go for a walk and find themselves in a park a half mile away from Kathy's house. The park, which is hardly big at all, is rarely used. It is a very long and narrow buffer zone between the businesses along the highway and the residential area behind it. The county turned it into a park, which has a few benches and a swing set. Walking around the park, Kathy tells Eddie, "This is where I want to be. Right here." Kathy and Eddie sit on one of the benches. Kathy ends up on Eddie's lap, whispering to him, "I love you, Edward Boganskaya." She puts his arms around his neck, telling him, "We're taking the long way home today." After their time in the park, Kathy eventually has to return home for dinner. On the way home, she tells Eddie, "I don't know what's wrong with me. I just don't feel like going to school this year. It's like going back to school is the B-side of a 45 or something." Eddie suggests, "Nobody really wants to go back to school." Kathy tells Eddie, "You just spoiled me rotten. That's what it is." Kathy stops, puts her hands on her hips, and asks Eddie, "Now, just how am I supposed to go back to school after that awesome summer?" Eddie suggests, "Well, maybe we can just make it a really good school year too." Kathy asks, "How are we going to do that?" Eddie tells her, "We can throw the discus at Mr. Crum." Kathy starts laughing and is suddenly in a better mood. Kathy is still on summer vacation, perhaps more so than anyone else. Kathy asks Eddie, "Remember when I told you my secret a long time ago?" Eddie asks, "Which one?" Kathy replies, "The one that I break down sometimes and get emotional." "Well, this is one of those times. But I'm glad you're here with me because everything is a whole lot better. I'd be crying in my room right now if I wasn't with you." Eddie gives Kathy a hug and tells her, "Hey, we're going to make this your best school year yet. You're a senior. You should be having fun." Kathy tells Eddie, "Yeah, you're right. We are going to have fun, Edward Boganskaya. We are definitely going to have fun." When they return to Kathy's house, she goes inside for dinner. Eddie walks home, where dinner is waiting for him too. Kathy and Eddie had such a good summer together, which suddenly came to an end. There are a few months before indoor track begins, so it is a long stretch of academics before Kathy and Eddie can get back to what they really like doing. But in the meantime, Kathy and Eddie are going to plan to have fun. The next week, at school, Kathy again dresses in her new wardrobe. She wears her drawstring shorts and a cut-off shirt, attracting a lot of attention. Paula is also dressed in a similar way this morning. Some of the other girls in the school have made their own cut-offs, which have been cut off and sewn, and look really nice. It seems like many of them have been modifying their wardrobe to conform to the new fashion craze. Everyone seems to be getting compliments on the new fashion style that has hit the school. It appears that Kathy and Paula are the trendsetters this year. Lunchtime arrives, which seems to be everyone's favorite subject this year. This is, perhaps, because it is not the track season, and this is the only time they get to spend time with each other during the day. The tribe meets in the lunchroom, taking their usual seat by the window. A teacher is always present in the lunchroom in the event a fight breaks out. Today, the lunchroom monitor is Miss Starr, who sits at the end of a table getting ahead on her lesson planning. Now that they are almost finished with lunch, the tribe plans to head outside. Mr. Crum, for some reason, walks into the lunchroom and talks with Miss Starr. Eddie, seeing Mr. Crum, mentions to the group, "Someone must have an overdue library book." Kathy laughs and tells Eddie, "You're beginning to sound a little like Mr. Zunday." Everyone who remembers the connotation from last year also begins laughing. For anyone in the group who does not know, Kathy explains, "Last year, when they took Paul Mahoney back to the sanitarium, a police officer told Mr. Crum, 'You just keep sending late students to detention and looking for overdue library books.'" Mr. Zunday has since capitalized on that phrase. Mr. Crumb and Miss Star stand up and walk toward the tribe's table. Braden asks, "Okay, which one of you has the overdue library book?" Mark comically replies, "You mean, this school has a library? I've never seen it." Eddie answers, telling Mark, "That's the rumor, bro." Mr. Crumb and Miss Star arrive at the table where the tribe is seated. Mr. Crumb announces to the tribe, "Miss Star is here as my witness." Miss Star, standing to the side behind Mr. Crumb, is silently mimicking his announcement. She then shakes her head, indicating some verbal nonsense is about to be upchucked by Mr. Crumb. Mr. Crumb tells Kathy and Paula, "You can't wear those shirts to school. I believe they are indecent." Eddie remarks, "Really? I think they are very decent." Hearing Eddie's comment, Miss Star tries to conceal her laughter. Mr. Crumb tells Eddie, "This does not concern you. So, please keep your mouth shut." Mr. Crumb's brash comment does not sit well with Kathy or anyone else seated at the table. The whole tribe is now awaiting Mr. Crumb's next move. Mr. Crumb tells Kathy and Paula, "Now, let's get back to what I was saying. You two can't wear shirts like those to this school." Kathy questions Mr. Crumb and asks, "So, you're saying that I am not allowed to wear this shirt in this school?" Mr. Crumb replies, "Exactly." Kathy stands up and takes her shirt off. She places her shirt in her purse and sits back down. Paula, seeing what Kathy just did, also stands up and removes her shirt and sits back down. Everyone in the lunchroom turns around to watch as Kathy and Paula act as if nothing unusual just happened. Everyone in the lunchroom cheers, seeing what the girls just did. Under their shirts, Kathy and Paula are wearing their gym tops, which look like a very fashionable sports bra. Miss Star can no longer conceal her laughter. Mr. Crumb turns about as red as a ripe tomato. Raising his voice, Mr. Crumb abruptly tells Kathy and Paula, "I want to see you two in my office right now." Paula begins to stand up, but Kathy kicks Paula's foot under the table, and Paula sits back down. Paula figures Kathy is up to something, for they know each other well. Mr. Crumb, seemingly being ignored by Kathy and Paula, exclaims, "What are you waiting for?" Kathy tells Mr. Crumb, "Your sentence structure is incorrect. You said you two. But you did not qualify to whom or what to refers, and secondly, you implied that you wanted to see us in your office. You never commanded us to go there. This is a school, Mr. Crumb. You are expected to use proper English when addressing students. Otherwise, how do you expect us to understand you?" Miss Star, the English teacher, mentions to Mr. Crumb, "She does have a point. You never told them to go to your office." Mr. Crumb yells out, telling Kathy and Paula, "Go to my office right now." Kathy asks Eddie, "You wouldn't happen to have your discus on you, would you?" Eddie replies, "It might be in your car. Do you want me to get it for you?" Kathy whispers to Eddie, "No. But go tell Mr. Zunday what's happening pronto." Kathy and Paula follow Mr. Crumb to his office. Mr. Crumb tells Miss Star, "I want you there too, as my witness." Miss Star replies to Mr. Crumb's brashness, telling him, "I'll be there in a secretary. I need to pick up my stuff." Once Mr. Crumb is far enough away, Miss Star tells Eddie and the rest of the group, "I'll try to get them out of this one." Kathy and Paula did exactly what he asked. Mr. Crumb told them, "You can't wear those shirts to school." That sounded pretty clear to me. Miss Star walks to Mr. Crumb's office as Eddie and Mark head to the gym to find Mr. Zunday. Eddie and Mark find Mr. Zunday and explain to him what just happened in the lunchroom. Eddie then tells Mr. Zunday, "Kathy told us to come and tell you." Mr. Zunday asks, "So, let me get this straight. They were wearing their gym clothes under their shirts, and they took their shirts off." Eddie replies, "Yeah. They have gym later, so they just wore their gym tops instead of a bra." Mr. Zunday asks, "So, what's the problem?" Mark replies, Mr. Crumb. Mr. Zunday responds, yeah, stupid question on my part. I can't argue with that. Mr. Zunday tells Eddie and Mark, this should be entertaining to say the least. Let me go and see what's going on. Mr. Zunday makes his way to Mr. Crumb's office to get his daily dose of comedy. Eddie and Mark go outside on the lawn, joining the rest of the tribe. When Mr. Zunday arrives at Mr. Crumb's office, Mr. Crumb politely tells Mr. Zunday, Mr. Zunday, this does not concern you. Mr. Crumb then brashly asks, so, why are you here? Mr. Zunday reminds Mr. Crumb, now, Mr. Crumb. We have been over this again and again. Whenever there is a disciplinary action or potential disciplinary action taken against an athlete, the school board gives me the right to be present. Today, I'm exercising my right to be present. Am I clear? Mr. Crumb replies, all right, all right. But this is my meeting. Mr. Zunday replies, don't let me hold you up. Go ahead and get on with it. Kathy tells Mr. Crumb, waiting, which is a highly sarcastic innuendo invented by the tribe. Mr. Crumb tells Kathy, explain to me why you removed your shirt. Kathy replies, because you told me to. Mr. Crumb tells Kathy, no, I didn't. Kathy reminds Mr. Crumb, you said, and I quote, you can't wear those shirts to school, so I took it off. I was just doing what you told me to do. Mr. Crumb tells Kathy, that's not what I intended, and you know that. Kathy replies, actually, I don't know what you intended. All I know is what you said. If you said what you meant, we wouldn't have this problem right now. Miss Starr, standing next to Mr. Zunday, whispers to him, she should be an attorney. Mr. Crumb tells Kathy and Paula, well, I'm going to have to do something about this. And, put your shirts back on. Paula asks Mr. Crumb, so, we can wear our shirts in this school. Mr. Crumb replies, no. I didn't say that. Paula asks Mr. Crumb, well, then what do you mean? Seriously, make up your mind already. Mr. Crumb tells Paula, you can't talk to me that way. Kathy tells Mr. Crumb, she just did, so apparently she is perfectly capable of talking to you that way. If you meant, you are not permitted to talk to me in that manner, you might have gotten your point across. But no. You're confusing the issue again. How did you ever pass your SAT test? Mr. Crumb tells Kathy and Paula, I've had enough of the both of you too. Kathy tells Mr. Crumb, that sentence was also poorly structured, but, at this point, who's counting? Jeesh. Miss Starr whispers to Mr. Zunday, I've heard about these meetings. I can't believe the amount of nonsense going on right now. Mr. Zunday whispers to Miss Starr, this is what I put up with all the time. In the long run, it's going to go nowhere, but it certainly is entertaining. Mr. Zunday then whispers to Miss Starr, the next thing will be his edict, which will be more nonsense. Mr. Crumb tells Kathy and Paula, you have left me no other choice. I am going to suspend both of you. Kathy replies, so what? See if I care. Paula tells Kathy, well, at least he finally said something using proper English. Mr. Crumb exclaims, that's enough out of you too. Kathy tells Paula, he's back to using unclear English again. That didn't last too long. Mr. Crumb, having enough backtalk, asks Kathy, and just what is so wrong with what I said? Kathy explains, you said, that's enough out of you too. Enough what? Breathing? Talking? Logic? Yeah, that's it. That's enough logic out of us. Mr. Zunday interjects and asks Mr. Crumb, what exactly are your grounds for suspending them? Mr. Crumb replies, for one, wearing indecent clothing. Mr. Zunday, thumbing through the school's policy manual, tells Mr. Crumb, this school has no written dress code. If you're challenged, you'll lose. Bringing up more trumped-up charges, Mr. Crumb tells Mr. Zunday, well, they can't talk to me that way. I am the principal. Mr. Zunday explains to Mr. Crumb, I've been listening to this entire conversation, and they have not spoken to you in any unacceptable manner. They have, however, commented quite appropriately on your inability to communicate using proper English. I'm sure that Miss Starr will attest to that fact. Mr. Crumb brashly replies, that's not the point, Mr. Zunday. Kathy responds by telling Mr. Crumb, oh yeah, it is. That's what started this whole shit show. Mr. Crumb tells Mr. Zunday, well, I could always suspend them for having overlapping body parts with their boyfriends. Mr. Zunday informs Mr. Crumb that rule was thrown out a long time ago, probably sometime during the medieval period. All bent out of shape, Mr. Crumb asks, when? I don't remember that. Mr. Zunday tells Mr. Crumb, the school board threw that rule out long ago. If the rule were enforced, you'd have to suspend all the wrestlers, football players, basketball players, volleyball players, and no one would be able to touch anyone else. You couldn't even have a school play the way that rule was written. The school would be empty, because you'd have to suspend everyone and send them home. Mr. Crumb sits back in his chair and thinks for a second. Mr. Crumb tells Mr. Zunday, nevertheless, stripping in the lunchroom is totally unacceptable behavior. They walked through the school with just their bras on. Mr. Zunday informs Mr. Crumb, what they are wearing are not bras. What they are wearing are their gym tops. They wear them in gym class. If you suspend Kathy and Paula, you'll have to suspend every girl who has gym class today. Mr. Crumb tells Mr. Zunday, well, they look like bras to me. Looking at Mr. Crumb, Kathy exclaims, what are you? Some kind of idiot or something. You don't even know what a bra is. Kathy pulls her bra out of her purse that she was going to put on after gym class and holds it up for everyone to see. Kathy exclaims, this is a bra. What I am wearing now is not a bra. Any questions? After listening to Kathy's lecture, Mr. Crumb turns red from embarrassment and has no clue how to respond. Mr. Zunday and Miss Starr, however, do know how to respond and laugh hysterically at Mr. Crumb. Kathy does not seem to care if she gets suspended. She seems to be intentionally pushing Mr. Crumb to his limit and doing a fine job of it. Since she is in a lose-lose situation, Kathy figures she might as well go for broke. After all, Mr. Crumb has never demonstrated any sense of logic, especially when it comes to athletes. And since it's not the track season, getting suspended can't interfere with a track meet. Besides, it's warm outside, so a day or two off from school is not necessarily a bad thing. Mr. Crumb continues his rant, asking Kathy, "Did you just call me an idiot?" Kathy replies, telling Mr. Crumb, no. I asked you if you are an idiot. There you go again with your poor command of the English language. And, by the way, you never answered that question. And, for the record, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you calling me a stripper. Mr. Crumb smugly tells Kathy, now, I didn't call you a stripper. Kathy exclaims, like hell you didn't. You said, and I quote, stripping in the lunchroom is totally unacceptable behavior. If I was stripping, as you claim, that makes me a stripper. By definition, strippers strip. Raising his voice, Mr. Crumb tells Kathy, that's not what I meant, and you know it. Kathy replies, here we go again. No. I don't know what you meant. I only know what you said. And that's exactly my point. You can't even communicate. How is anyone supposed to know what you mean? And how did you ever get to be principal of this school? You don't even understand seventh grade English. Mr. Zunday whispers to Miss Starr, Kathy is definitely winning every argument. Miss Starr whispers back, well, she did get an A in English last year. She's certainly picking his English apart really well. I'm glad to see they actually learned something in my class. Mr. Zunday replies, and she got an A in gym class too. If a real fight breaks out, she will surely win. Mr. Crumb and Kathy continue to argue, with Mr. Crumb backed into a corner with every point he tries to make. Mr. Crumb gets nowhere with Kathy and Paula, who do not care in the least if they get suspended. Moving on to a different topic, Mr. Crumb asks Kathy, "And what about that comment you made about Eddie having a discus? Is the school's discus in Eddie's possession?" Kathy bluntly tells him, "No." Mr. Crumb is obviously on a fishing expedition, looking for more ways to cause trouble. If there is a discus in Eddie's possession, Mr. Crumb's logic is that he must have stolen it from the school. Mr. Crumb asks, then, "How did Eddie get hold of a discus?" Kathy replies, "I ordered it from Acme. They sell discuses, along with anvils, rocket sleds, bombs, jet motors, and tornado seeds. While E. Coyote on Road Runner orders shit from there all the time. It got delivered just a few minutes after I ordered it, just like on TV." Miss Star has to turn around to conceal laughing, not quite believing what she is hearing. Mr. Crumb raises his voice and tells Kathy, "I'm going to give you one more chance to answer my question, young lady." Kathy explains, "I bought it for him. It was a present." "What's the matter with you?" Mr. Crumb asks, "And just where did you get a discus?" Kathy exclaims, "My father ordered it for me so I can give it to Eddie." "Seriously, what is your problem? There's no law against owning a discus. And besides, Eddie's discus is none of your business." Purely for entertainment purposes, Mr. Zunde allows Mr. Crumb's line of questioning to go to completion. Mr. Zunde then informs Mr. Crumb, "All six of the school's discuses are safely locked up in the equipment room. None of them have been stolen." Mr. Zunde's comment ended that discussion rather quickly. Mr. Crumb, who is treading on thin ice, tells Kathy and Paula, "I'm not exactly sure how I am going to deal with this yet. But I will be calling both of your parents." Kathy tells Mr. Crumb, "Go ahead. See if I care. My dad will probably finish the job that Eddie's father started on your desk." Kathy's comment caused an unpleasant flashback in Mr. Crumb's mind. Mr. Crumb tells Kathy and Paula, "Okay, get out of here for now. Go. Get out of here." Kathy and Paula leave Mr. Crumb's office, slamming the door very hard as they leave. Through the door, Kathy and Paula hear Mr. Zunde say, "Crumb, you're not even qualified to get out of bed in the morning. You've done nothing but embarrass yourself today. If you want to go ahead and embarrass yourself further, be my guest. I am not going to stop you." They hear Miss Star laugh, taking away a little stress from the situation. Mr. Zunde and Miss Star walk out of Mr. Crumb's office as Kathy and Paula head outside to join the rest of the group. Mr. Zunde and Miss Star walk to the lunchroom, since Miss Star still has lunch duty. Mr. Zunde asks Miss Star, "So, what actually happened in the lunchroom earlier?" Miss Star explains, "Mr. Crumb told Kathy and Paula that they can't wear their shirts to school, calling them indecent." Kathy verified what he said by asking, "So, you're saying that I am not allowed to wear this shirt in this school?" Mr. Crumb then told her, "Exactly, so Kathy took her shirt off." Mr. Zunde tells Miss Star, "I'm sorry I missed that. That must have been quite funny." Miss Star replies, "Honestly, it was so funny that I couldn't keep from laughing." Mr. Zunde says, "Well, I certainly couldn't see anything that warrants suspension." Miss Star replies, "Actually, neither can I." Mr. Zunde returns to the gym, and Miss Star finishes her lesson plans. Kathy and Paula walk outside and find the rest of the tribe sitting on the lawn. They fill the others in on what happened in Mr. Crumb's office, down to the very last detail. After Kathy and Paula have finished explaining, Kathy tells Eddie, "Mr. Crumb said to us, get out of here, so I'm going home. Oh, and by the way, he thinks you stole the school's discus. But did Mr. Zunde ever set him straight?" Eddie asks Kathy, "So, you're going home like right now?" Kathy replies, yeah. I'm not in the mood for his shit today. He was really vague, so I'm taking what he said to mean that I should go home. And he's going to try to bust me for cutting class tomorrow. And I don't care. Paula tells Kathy, I'm coming with you. Eddie tells Kathy, I'll come by after school. Kathy tells him, we'll probably be out back by the pool. Since lunchtime is over, Kathy and Paula walk to Kathy's car and head out. The rest of the tribe goes inside and heads to class. The tribe's next class after lunch is chemistry class, which is a class that no one really wants to take. Sitting near the window with the tribe, Eddie sees Kathy and Paula drive through the parking lot, wishing that he had left with them. But in walks Mr. Madre, the chemistry teacher, ready to make everyone's life a lot more fun. Eddie stares out the window as Mr. Madre begins today's chemistry lesson. Since this is the beginning of the school year, today's lesson is on the fundamentals, which are protons, neutrons, and electrons. Eddie catches a few words here and there, but is more focused on Kathy at the moment. As he is drawing on the board, Mr. Madre lectures. A valence electron is an outer shell electron that is associated with an atom. If the outer shell is open, a valence electron can participate in the formation of a chemical bond. In a single covalent bond, both atoms in the bond contribute one valence electron in order to form a shared pair. Isn't that right, Eddie? Eddie replies, yeah, of course. Everyone in the class suspects that Eddie wasn't paying one bit of attention to Mr. Madre. Even Mr. Madre clearly knows that Eddie was thinking about something else. Mr. Madre would be correct. Mr. Madre asks Eddie, were you even listening to what I was saying? Eddie replies, yes. But I got distracted, and I was contemplating something. Mr. Madre asks Eddie, please tell the class and myself what you were contemplating. Mr. Madre clearly believes Eddie was not paying attention and decided to make an example out of him. Clarifying a few things from Mr. Madre's last lecture, Eddie asks Mr. Madre, during the last class, you said opposite charges attract and like charges repel, right? Mr. Madre replies, yes, I did. I'm glad someone was paying attention to what I was saying. The class giggles a bit, knowing that Eddie is about to offer some unconventional wisdom. When Eddie participates in class, everyone knows by now that something interesting is coming. After setting up Mr. Madre, Eddie expresses his wisdom, if like charges repel, I'm just trying to understand why the nucleus of an atom with, say, 70 or 80 positive charges in it, doesn't just fly apart. Braden quickly adds, yeah. Now, I'm wondering about that myself. The class reacts by asking questions such as, yeah, how can it stay together? Mark mentions, no wonder none of this makes any sense. It takes a few minutes for the chatter to die down, which is good for Mr. Madre. He spends the time trying to think of an answer to Eddie's question, because he really doesn't have one. Mr. Madre finally gets the class under control and explains, actually, Eddie's question is a very good one. But in order to understand the answer to Eddie's question, we would need to have a discussion of nuclear physics and quarks. Wendy comments, waiting. Mr. Madre tells Wendy, unfortunately, Wendy, the subject matter is way beyond the scope of this class. Scientists are just now trying to understand what holds the nucleus of an atom together. The truth is that not even Mr. Madre understands quarks and the physics necessary to fully explain why the nucleus of an atom doesn't just fly apart. Braden comments loud enough for everyone to hear, you shouldn't have avoided that question. Mr. Madre asks Braden, what do you mean? Braden replies, because now you have to answer the next question. Mr. Madre asks Braden, and just what is the next question? Braden asks, if there are positive and negative forces in an atom, and the like forces don't repel, how are we supposed to believe the opposite forces attract? The chatter rises again, with students demanding answers that the teacher simply cannot provide. But Mr. Madre moves on, telling the class that certain concepts must be taken at face value. As Eddie and the tribe disrupt the chemistry class, Kathy drives to Paula's house. When they arrive, Paula goes inside to pick up her swimsuit and towel. They then drive to Kathy's house and go into the backyard and sit by the pool. They swim for a while, then lay in the sundae. The subject of conversation eventually returns to what happened at school. Paula asks Kathy, "So, do you think we'll get in trouble?" Kathy replies, "I doubt it. Did you see Mr. Zunday and Miss Starr when we were in Mr. Crumb's office? They were laughing so hard at Mr. Crumb." Paula says, "Yeah, I did see that." Kathy adds, "And Mr. Zunday said the school has no dress code." Paula replies, "They will now." Kathy replies, "Well, I bet the school board will have to approve it, just like they have to approve everything else. That will probably take forever." Kathy's mother comes home, seeing Kathy's car in the driveway. She looks around for Kathy and finds her and Paula in the backyard by the pool. Kathy's mother asks Kathy, "You're home early. What's up?" Kathy tells her mom, "I'm not sure, but I think Mr. Crumb suspended us." Kathy's mom asks, "For what?" Kathy replies, "For wearing my cut-off shirt to school." Kathy's mom exclaims, "You've got to be kidding me." Paula tells her, "No. He said he was going to call our parents." Kathy's mom tells them, "I can't wait for that call." Wanting to hear the full story, Kathy's mom tells Kathy, "Okay, give it to me, top to bottom." Kathy explains, "Mr. Crumb told us we can't wear our shirts to school and that they are indecent. So, I asked him, 'So, you're saying that I am not allowed to wear this shirt in this school?' And he said, 'Exactly.' So, I took my shirt off, but my gym clothes were underneath. And then, Paula took her shirt off too. Then he told us to go to his office. So, then I told Eddie to get Mr. Zunday, and he came to Mr. Crumb's office. Then, Mr. Crumb asked me why I took off my shirt, and I told him that he told me to. And then, he tried to twist his words around to say that he didn't say that. Then, he told us to put our shirts back on, which he told us we can't wear in school. Oh, and he said that stripping in the lunchroom is unacceptable behavior, so he basically called me a stripper. And then he said he was going to suspend us. And so I told him I didn't care. Then he said, 'Get out of here,' so we came home." Paula mentions, "Miss Starr and Mr. Zunday saw the whole thing. And they were laughing at Mr. Crumb." Kathy's mom tells her, "Well, don't worry about it. I'm sure that Mr. Zunday will fill your father in on the details." Kathy tells her mother, "And that's another thing. Mr. Crumb tried to say that Eddie stole the school's discus. But I told him that I gave Eddie the discus, and he didn't believe me. So Mr. Zunday basically told Mr. Crumb to shut up." Kathy's mother tells her, "Well, enjoy your afternoon off. After what Mr. Crumb put you through, you both deserve it." Kathy and Paula go back into the pool. Paula tells Kathy, "Well, your mom took that really well." Kathy tells Paula, "My father doesn't like Mr. Crumb. Last year, after the state invitational meet, he said something like, 'We've never had a principal like Mr. Crumb interfere with a sports team this much before.'" Paula mentions, "Yeah. I remember him saying that when the reporters and photographers were around. So, I bet Mr. Crumb is just trying to get back at you for what your dad said." Kathy replies, "Yeah. You might be right about that." Kathy tells Paula, "I'll just let my dad and Mr. Zunday beat up on Mr. Crumb." Paula tells Kathy, "You did a pretty good job yourself, girl." Taking advantage of the beautiful weather, Kathy and Paula swim all afternoon. After school, Eddie and Mark walk into Kathy's backyard, finding the girls in the pool. Eddie exclaims, "Wow. I didn't know suspension can be so good. Kathy asks, so, what happened after we left? Eddie replies, you don't want to know. Paula looks at Kathy and says, uh-oh. Eddie tells Kathy and Paula, everyone in the school found out what happened. Tomorrow, every girl in the school is going to wear a cutoff. Kathy and Paula both smile and exchange high fives. Kathy exclaims, awesome. Now, I want to go to school tomorrow. I want to get there early and watch when everyone walks in. Kathy asks, what about Mr. Crumb? Mark tells her, we didn't hear anything about him. Kathy mentions, he's probably hiding under his broken desk. Kathy gets out of the pool and dries off. She tells Eddie, they still don't have the chemicals in the pool right. My eyes are burning again. I spent most of my time above water. Kathy dries off and gives Eddie a hug. Paula also gets out of the pool, but Mark gives her a hug while she is soaking wet. As Mark is drying Paula off, Eddie tells them, you know, one day you're going to look back at all of this and laugh. Paula says, that day might just be tomorrow. Kathy mentions to Paula, I hope that's your superpower at work. Paula replies, it might be. I can just see Mr. Crumb being defeated this time. But he'll be back again with something else. Mark comments, and next time, it will be just as funny. Kathy adds, or just as stupid. Eddie and Mark hang around for a while, but since it is a school night, they eventually have to go home. Kathy tells Eddie, I'm going to go to school tomorrow. Who knows if they'll let me stay? Eddie tells Kathy, well, if they send you home, they'll have to send half the school home with you. Kathy replies, yeah. You're right. And besides, if they send me home, then me and Paula can go swimming or go to the beach. Eddie, Mark, and Paula head home, with everyone anxiously waiting to see what tomorrow will bring. When Kathy's father gets home, he greets Kathy, telling her, well, if it isn't my juvenile delinquent daughter. Kathy responds by telling him, I can explain the whole thing. Kathy's dad tells her, you don't have to. I heard it all from Dr. Zunday. He said you did quite a good job of putting Mr. Crumb in his place. Kathy is now totally relieved. Everyone is on her side. It is now the whole world versus Mr. Crumb. Kathy's dad tells her, but I would like to hear your side of the story. Kathy explains all of today's excitement to her father in her own words, down to every minute detail. Kathy even included how Mr. Zunday and Miss Starr were laughing at Mr. Crumb. Kathy also mentions Paula's thought that Mr. Crumb is trying to get back at Kathy because of Kathy's father's comment during last year's state invitational meet. During that meet, Dr. Karakova made the comment, we've never had a principal, like Mr. Crumb here, to interfere with a sports team with such veracity before. That comment did not sit well with Mr. Crumb, who was utterly embarrassed. Kathy's dad reassures her, just wear what you want to school. I will take care of Mr. Crumb myself if need be. That is, if Dr. Zunday hasn't already done that. The long-awaited day arrives, and Kathy cannot wait to get to school. She and Eddie drive to school and get there very early. Kathy drives past the garage door to the auto shop, which happens to be open. Mr. Malik, the auto shop teacher, hears the 911 engine of the Porsche 914 and walks outside to see what exactly drove by. Mr. Malik sees Eddie and Kathy get out of the Porsche 914. Being a little curious, he walks over and wants to take a look at the car. Mr. Malik opens by mentioning, that doesn't sound like a normal 914 to me. Kathy, who is now well versed regarding the modifications that were made to her car, tells Mr. Malik, it was modified for agility racing. It has a six-cylinder engine, not a four. And it has better suspension, so it goes around curves really well. And the battery is now in the rear trunk. Mr. Malik asks Kathy, how come you didn't sign up for auto shop? Kathy smiles and replies, because I have Eddie. Mr. Malik asks Kathy, if you don't mind, I'd like to put it up on the rack sometime and take a look. Kathy replies, we're way early for school. How about now? Mr. Malik replies, sure. We've got 20 or 30 minutes before the bell rings. Kathy drives the 914 to the garage door, and Mr. Malik guides her in, getting her centered over the lift. Kathy gets out, and Mr. Malik lifts the car. Eddie, Kathy, and Mr. Malik take a look underneath. Mr. Malik is amazed, to say the least, of the engineering masterpiece that he sees underneath the vehicle. Mr. Malik tells Eddie and Kathy, I cannot even begin to explain the genius that it took to make these modifications. But Kathy and Eddie already know that, already hearing it from Angelo. Looking around underneath the 914, Mr. Malik points out, and take a look at this. There's an active front and rear suspension. Here are the hydraulic links. The active front suspension, in combination with the small front anti-sway bar, must respond really fast. Looking around a little closer, Mr. Malik comments, and take a look at this. Girling brakes. This model is often found on racing cars. Mr. Malik examines every little detail underneath the 914. Mr. Malik mentions, they've even stiffened the body. These structural components are not original equipment. They've been welded in. And, apparently, after the work was done, they've powder-coated the entire underside. This took a lot of time, effort, and money. Mr. Malik lowers the 914 and tells Kathy, Mr. Zunday will definitely be interested in seeing this sometime. He's a Porsche fanatic. Kathy informs Mr. Malik, Angelo, at the service station, said he heard all about this car, but he's never seen it until I got it. He said that an engineer from Georgia Tech made all the modifications. Mr. Malik tells Kathy, that would certainly explain everything we see here. No one does this type of work without some kind of extensive engineering background. To be honest, what was done to this car is far beyond me. I'd like to meet the guy who modified this car someday. Kathy drives the car out of the garage and parks it in her favorite space on the end. Kathy and Eddie then walk toward the school entrance. When they walk in, every girl they see is wearing a cutoff. Kathy tells Eddie, check it out. Super awesome. Eddie replies, Mr. Crumb is going to shit a brick. Kathy tells him, good. He started the whole thing anyway. As they walk through the lobby, many girls give Kathy a high five. Eddie tells Kathy, if they send you and Paula home again, slide a note in my locker. Kathy replies, you'll know they sent us home if all the girls in the school are gone. Eddie and Kathy head to their classes, each wondering what this day will bring. Eddie takes a seat with the tribe near the window. Wendy asks Eddie, are Kathy and Paula here today? Eddie replies, yeah. But, who knows for how long? They talk for a while, and then Miss Star walks in. Miss Star, who can easily win an award for the best dressed teacher, is wearing an outfit that likely came from Saks Fifth Avenue. She takes off her blazer, draping it over her chair. Underneath, Miss Star is wearing a cutoff, which is immediately noticed by the entire class. The reaction of the class to Miss Star's outfit is priceless. Most of the students clap, some give her a cat call, and others cheer. She allows the students to continue as she takes the role. Braden whispers, I wish all our teachers would dress like that. Wendy kicks Braden's foot under the desk and gives him a dirty look. After calling the roll, Miss Star tells the class, I understand that you can get a day off if you wear a cutoff. But until I get sent home, it's down to business. Miss Star then begins her lesson for today. During class change, it is hard to find a girl not wearing a cutoff. There is no word around school of Mr. Crumb's reaction. In fact, no one has even seen or heard from him all morning. Eddie checks his locker between each class and finds no note from Kathy. This is good news, telling him Kathy has not been sent home. After third period, the feared announcement finally comes. The school secretary announces over the loudspeaker, Kathy Karakova and Paula Giovanni, please report to the administration office immediately. Since it is class change, Eddie and Mark go to their next class by way of the administration area. When Eddie and Mark get to the administration office, Kathy and Paula come around the corner. Kathy tells Eddie, I was hoping this wouldn't happen. Eddie gives Kathy a hug and a kiss, telling her, if he gives you any trouble, tell him you want Mr. Zunday here. Paula tells Mark and Eddie, wish us luck. Mark tells Paula, hey, take that shirt off. You can't wear that in school. The girls smile and walk into the administration office. Eddie and Mark have little choice but to go to class. Kathy and Paula walk into the office, and Mrs. Marlowe, the school secretary, tells them to have a seat. Kathy asks Mrs. Marlowe, how are we here? The secretary replies, Mr. Crum wants to see you girls. Paula replies, oh, wonderful. I can't wait. Kathy and Paula sit and wait, wondering what is next. Kathy breathes a sigh of relief, telling Paula, I think I hear Mr. Zunday in there. Paula replies, let's hope so. After 5 minutes, Mr. Crum's door opens, and he tells the girls, please come into my office and have a seat. Kathy and Paula walk in, and are not surprised to see Mr. Zunday. They are very surprised to see Kathy's father and Mr. Fraser standing on the other side of Mr. Zunday. Mr. Crum again tells the girls, please, have a seat. Kathy and Paula sit in the two chairs across from Mr. Crum's desk, with a perfect view of the rough edge that was modified by Eddie's father last year. Mr. Zunday, Dr. Karakova, and Mr. Fraser all stand to the side with their arms crossed. They have the unmistakable appearance that they are ready to take someone apart limb by limb in a back alley somewhere. Mr. Crum tells the girls, well, I suppose you're wondering why you're here. Kathy, who has really had enough of Mr. Crum's shit over the last year, replies, hopefully, for you to give us another afternoon off. Mr. Crum chuckles unexpectedly and replies, no, not today. You'll have to suffer through the remainder of the day here with the rest of us. Mr. Crum tells the girls, I'd like to apologize for my behavior yesterday. I'm sorry that I caused such a commotion over what you wore to school. And, since I was unaware that there is no dress code, you are free to wear whatever you feel is appropriate. The room is silent for a few seconds, which seems like minutes to the girls. Breaking the silence, Kathy asks, that's it? Mr. Crum replies, no. One more thing. You weren't suspended yesterday, so technically you cut class. But, I am willing to overlook this instance, so there will be no detention. Kathy looks at Paula, in shock, wondering whether it is her father, Mr. Zunday, or Mr. Fraser that has the gun pointed at Mr. Crum's head. Mr. Crum doesn't talk this way. The girls know there's got to be a story behind Mr. Crum's sudden change in attitude. They will eventually find out the real story. Mr. Crum, however, is naive and believes that Kathy and Paula won't be privileged to that information. He thinks the adults will all keep the students in the dark. No one in the room, however, is dumb enough to believe that Mr. Crum is truly being sincere. Mr. Crum tells Kathy and Paula, okay, unless there are any other questions, you are free to go to class. Mrs. Marlowe will give you your late passes. Kathy asks, so, we're done. That's it. Mr. Crum tells them, yes. Go to class and keep up the school spirit. Kathy's father smiles as the girls get up and leave. Mr. Zunday, Mr. Fraser, and Dr. Karakova were completely silent during the short meeting. That is quite a difference from the meeting that was held with Eddie's father last year. Perhaps Mr. Crum has learned something, but it's doubtful. The girls leave Mr. Crum's office and pick up their late passes from Mrs. Marlowe, who already had them prepared. They walk out of the administration office in shock. Kathy asks Paula, "Okay, now, what's up with that?" Paula replies, "And what was all that shit about school spirit?" Kathy tells Paula, "I can't wait to get home tonight and hear about this one." Paula replies, "I'm coming. I've got to hear this too." Kathy tells Paula, "Mr. Crum is so full of shit. They have something over his head. They have to." Paula reminds her, "Well, you are the bullshit detector." Kathy laughingly replies, "Yeah. You're right." Kathy adds, "And did you see them? My dad, Mr. Zunday, and Mr. Fraser looked like the Gestapo." Kathy and Paula walk into their classroom, wondering what in the world just happened back there in Mr. Crumb's office. At lunchtime, the tribe hears this morning's story top to bottom from Kathy and Paula. No one believes for a moment that Mr. Crumb is sincere. What is of concern, however, is that Mr. Crumb thinks that the girls think he is sincere. There is a lot of speculation around what happened, but no one really knows. Everyone wants to hear from Kathy's father what actually happened. But they will have to wait until tomorrow. That is unless, of course, Mr. Zunday or Mr. Fraser says something later today. The end of the school day arrives, and Kathy is happy again. She drives Eddie to her house, where they do homework for a while as they sit out by the pool. Mark and Paula join them, also doing homework. It's not really doing homework, though, that is on their mind. What they really want to know is what happened to Mr. Crumb between yesterday and today. After a while, Mark asks, "When does your dad get home?" Kathy replies, "Any minute now. It's only the first week of classes at the university, so he gets home early. Classes at the university get into high gear next week." Paula replies, "Then Barbara must be getting settled in this week." Kathy's father walks out of the house into the backyard. No one heard him come home because they were too busy talking and doing their homework. Kathy's father opens the conversation, telling her that Mr. Crumb is certainly a piece of work. Kathy asks, "So, what really happened?" Kathy's father tells her, "I went by the school today to talk to Dr. Zunday on my way to work, and to see Mr. Crumb if I could. Dr. Zunday said we'll just go and see him now. Mr. Fraser joined us. He knew what was going to happen and wanted to see it firsthand." Kathy asks, "What happened to Mr. Crumb? Did lightning strike him or something? Or does he like have a brain tumor?" Kathy's father laughs and says, "No, not quite. Dr. Zunday presented extensive documentation that he's been keeping over the years, itemizing every instance of when Mr. Crumb interfered with athletics. The list is quite impressive. To be frank, Dr. Zunday has had enough of Mr. Crumb. Dr. Zunday told Mr. Crumb that, if he pursues this issue, he will go to the school board and request to have him demoted." Kathy asks, "Why not just have him fired?" Kathy's dad replies, "Dr. Zunday doesn't really want to have Mr. Crumb fired. Dr. Zunday is playing a game of chess with Mr. Crumb. It's been going on for years. Mr. Crumb cannot win. Actually, in a way, Dr. Zunday enjoys it." Paula remarks, "Wow. That makes a lot of sense." Eddie comments, "No wonder Mr. Zunday threw the discus at Mr. Crumb last year." Kathy's father tells Kathy and the rest of the group, "Dr. Zunday tells me that Mr. Crumb has been subdued for a while, but he'll be back to his normal self in a few weeks. So, don't worry about Mr. Crumb." Kathy tells her dad, "You know, I really tried to get suspended yesterday." Kathy's father replies, "Yeah, I know. Dr. Zunday tells me you and Paula pretty much pulverized Mr. Crumb. Mr. Fraser mentioned that he wished he was there to see it. At least you and Paula got a nice afternoon off out of it." Kathy's father then goes inside, happy to see that Kathy is well able to deal with the absurdity of an out-of-control principal. The next few days at school go more smoothly. Mr. Crumb has gotten out of the way, at least for a while. And this is Kathy and Paula's senior year. It is not supposed to be filled with strife, as offered up by Mr. Crumb. Fortunately, a few people put an end to Mr. Crumb's antagonism rather quickly. And until the weather gets cooler, everyone has a wardrobe more appropriate for the unusually warm weather. Cut-offs have been the craze throughout the school since Kathy and Paula debuted them on the first day of school. The weekend comes, so Eddie and Kathy spend some time working out. Finally getting back into their own routine of things, life is back to normal. They spend the morning working out in Eddie's gym. Eddie and Kathy have made some decent gains since last spring. While they haven't timed themselves in a while, they both know that they are faster than they were when they medaled at the state invitational meet last year. After they work out today, they go out to eat and get pizza. After lunch, they head to Kathy's house and go in her pool. They float around in the water for a while, relaxing after a strenuous morning workout. Kathy tells Eddie, "Hey, I sink. I don't float anymore. I haven't noticed that before." Eddie tells her, "You have all those muscles now." Kathy mentions, "Yeah. I don't have much fat anymore." Kathy tries to see how fast it takes to sink to the bottom of the pool. She tries a few times. Kathy and Eddie race to the bottom to see who sinks faster, and they find out that Eddie sinks a little faster. After a while, Kathy tells Eddie, "My eyes are burning again, and now I have an earache. I need to get out of the pool." They get out of the pool and dry off. Eddie tells Kathy, "Let's go to my house and get my water test kit. There's definitely something wrong with the water if you're constantly having this problem." Kathy finally agrees, losing all faith in the pool guy who has been trying to fix the problem for the last 2 months. They drive to Eddie's house and pick up his test kit. When they return, Eddie and Kathy test the water. Eddie finds the chlorine level to be less than 0.25 parts per million. Eddie explains to Kathy, "The chlorine level should be between 1.0 and 3.0 parts per million. The level in your pool barely even registers. It's less than 0.25 parts per million. That's nothing." Kathy asks, "So, is that why my eyes burn?" Eddie replies, "No. If the chlorine level was over 3.0, your eyes might get red. Let's check the pH." Eddie checks the pH and tells Kathy, "Here's the problem. The pH of your pool is off the scale. It's way over 9.0. That would definitely cause your eyes to burn." Kathy tells Eddie, "I'm getting my dad. I'll be right back." Kathy returns with her father, finding Eddie rechecking the pool chemistry. Kathy tells her father, "My eyes are really burning after being in the pool, and now I have a bad earache." Kathy's father replies, "I've noticed my eyes burning recently as well." Kathy asks Eddie, "Can you tell my dad what you just found?" Eddie explains his findings to Kathy's father. Kathy's father asks, "How do you fix it?" Eddie explains, "We need to bring the chlorine level up. That should be easy enough. To bring the pH down, we need to put at least a gallon or two of muriatic acid in the pool. The pH should ideally be 7.35 or close to that." Kathy's father asks Eddie, "How long will it take to get the pool back to normal?" Eddie replies, "A day, maybe two if the pH is higher than I think it is. It's off the scale right now." Kathy's father asks Eddie, "Does her earache have anything to do with this?" Eddie replies, "With a chlorine level that barely registers, it's anyone's guess what could be growing in the pool." Kathy tells her dad, "My ear has been hurting for a week, and it's been getting worse." Kathy's dad tells her, "We'll get you to the doctor and see what's going on." Kathy asks, "Can me and Eddie fix the pool?" Kathy's dad replies, "Sure. Give it a try. The pool guy has had well over a month, and it's not any better now than it was." Eddie asks, "How many gallons are in the pool?" Kathy's father replies, 20,000 gallons. Eddie tells Kathy, let's go to the store and get the acid, chlorine, and some algicide. Eddie and Kathy return with the muriatic acid, which is 31%, the chlorine, and algicide. The first thing Eddie does is to backwash the filter, since he has lost all trust in the pool guy. He shows Kathy and her father how to backwash the system, which is actually very simple. With the filter now clean, they move on to correcting the pool chemistry. After doing a few calculations, Eddie explains that, if the pH is currently at 9.5, and there are 20,000 gallons in the pool, 1 gallon of the 31% muriatic acid should get the pH down to 7.4. Eddie spends quite a long time adding the acid to the water. Eddie explains to Kathy and her father, you have to add it slowly, otherwise it will sink to the bottom and etch the pool's finish. Where the jets are is a good place to add the acid because it disperses it. After Eddie is finished adding a gallon of acid, he then adds a considerable amount of chlorine. When he is done, he dumps the whole bottle of algicide into the water, which treats 20,000 gallons. Eddie tells Kathy's father, let the pump run overnight, and I'll check the water again tomorrow. Kathy tells Eddie, I hope this will fix it. Eddie replies, it will stop your eyes from burning. I'm not sure what's up with your ear though. They then clean the skimmers, which were surprisingly full of debris. When one of the skimmer baskets is emptied, a dead and badly decaying frog is found in the bottom. Kathy exclaims, yuck. I wonder how long that's been there. Eddie's father replies, from the looks of it, too long. Eddie tells Kathy, the skimmers need to be checked daily. I'll check the skimmers every morning before we go to school. Since Kathy's ear is hurting and she doesn't feel well, she goes inside to lie down for a while. Eddie heads home and works out in his home gym. He also spends a little time working on his MGB, which is coming along quite well. Later that night, Eddie calls Kathy, finding out the nap did her some good. Eddie returns the next day to check the pool. Eddie, Kathy, and Kathy's father go into the backyard and check the water again. Testing the chlorine, Eddie now finds the level is now 2.2 to 2.4. He explains that the chlorine is now at a normal level. Eddie then tests the pH, which is now 7.4. Eddie tells Kathy's father, it looks like the pool is back to normal. Kathy asks, is it okay to go in the water? Eddie replies, sure. Kathy's father exclaims, I've never seen the pool water this clear in a while. Eddie replies, maybe that's because the water is clean now. Kathy puts on her swimsuit and goes for a swim. Kathy's parents also go in the pool, and Eddie joins everyone. Kathy goes underwater a lot and opens her eyes. After an hour in the water, Kathy tells Eddie, my eyes don't burn at all, and I even opened them a lot underwater. Eddie replies, it was the pH. It was way off. Kathy's father says, I wonder how the pH got so far off. Eddie replies, it's a concrete pool. The pH naturally goes up over time, especially in the first year. Kathy's father asks, how often should the pH be checked? Eddie replies, I would check it once a week. Kathy mentions, my ear still hurts though. Kathy's mother tells her, I made an appointment for you to see the doctor tomorrow. Kathy asks, hey, can I drive? Her mom replies, sure. I've been waiting for my ride in your car. Kathy's father fired the pool guy that afternoon. He decided to take care of the pool himself. Kathy offers to help and wants to learn how to maintain the pool herself. Kathy wants a pool of her own someday, so there's no better time than now to learn how to take care of it. After watching Eddie, they realized that it wasn't that difficult at all. And if they have any questions, they could always ask Eddie. Monday arrives, and since Kathy has to go to the doctor, Eddie walks to school by himself. He could take the bus, but he'd rather walk. When he walks by Kathy's house, He goes into the backyard and cleans the pool skimmers. Eddie does not find any dead frogs in the skimmers today. Since Kathy's car is still in the driveway, he figures she's still sleeping, and he heads to school. When Eddie gets to school, everyone asks where Kathy is. Eddie tells them she's at the doctor this morning because she has an earache. Mark mentions that Kathy could possibly have a crumb ache. Braden mentions that everyone has a crumb ache. It's no secret that Mr. Crumb is not exactly anyone's favorite administrator. Later that morning, Kathy and her mother drive to the doctor's office. On the way, Kathy's mother tells Kathy, "I'm finally getting my ride in your car." Kathy asks, "So, what do you think?" Kathy's mother replies, "It seems to run really well." Kathy drives conservatively with her mother in her car. Taking corners at high speeds is not exactly on today's agenda. They arrive at the doctor's office. Kathy's mother explains to the doctor that they suspect Kathy's ear hurting has something to do with the pool. They also explain that the pool chemistry was way off and that there was a dead frog found in the skimmer. The doctor examines Kathy, diagnoses her with an ear infection, and prescribes an antibiotic. The doctor informs Kathy's mother that ear infections are common when going in the water. Kathy and her mother then arrive home, and they go inside. Kathy's mother tells Kathy that she has a few errands to run, and that she will fill the prescription while she is out. She also tells Kathy to wait home until she returns, so she can take her medication before she goes to school. By lunchtime, Kathy is back in school and sits with the tribe as everyone eats lunch. Kathy already ate lunch at home, since her antibiotic had to be taken with food. Everyone is expressing their concern about her, so she tells everyone, "My ear hurt, so my mom took me to the doctor. He said it was an ear infection, so he gave me antibiotics." Paula asks, "What did they give you?" Kathy replies, "Penicillin." Paula mentions, "At least they know what it is. That's good news." Mark asks, "How did you get an ear infection?" Kathy replies, "The doctor said I most likely got it from swimming in my pool." Mark asks, "How did that happen?" Kathy explains to Mark and everyone else, the pool guy wasn't doing his job. There was no chlorine in the pool. The pH was way off. And I was swimming with dead frogs. Paula exclaims, "What? Dead frogs? Yuck." Kathy replies, "Yeah. There was a dead frog in the skimmer. But it's all fixed now. Eddie fixed the pool water. And my dad fired the pool guy. So, we're going to take care of the pool ourselves now." They go outside after lunch and enjoy the nice weather. The conversation then moves beyond dead frogs and Mr. Crumb. After school, Kathy tells Eddie, "Hey, let's go to your house to work out after school." Eddie replies, "Sure. I was going to ask you if you wanted to work out." Kathy replies, "Okay, then. It's a date." Eddie asks, "Don't normal people go to the movies for a date?" Kathy replies, "Yeah. But we're not normal. Our idea of a date is working out and getting pizza. It's not dinner and a movie like everyone else." They get to Eddie's house and hit the weights. They begin today's workout with squats. Eddie is surprised at the energy Kathy is putting into her workout. Eddie mentions, "You are working out really hard." Kathy replies, "Yeah. The track season is coming up. I have to get in better shape." Eddie tells her, "You're in the best shape of your life." Kathy replies, "Yeah, I know. But I need to make it to state." Kathy then does another set of squats. After her set, she tells him, "So, there's this guy who's a good sprinter. I need to get in better shape so I can beat him this year." While Eddie is doing his set, he asks, "Who's that?" Kathy replies, "Some guy named Edward Boganskaya. He's the fastest guy in the state, and I'm going to beat him this year. After his set, Eddie replies, "Well, I hear that there are these Amazon women who are taking over track and field. And more are coming this year. I need to get in better shape, or they'll all beat me." Kathy tells Eddie, "Watch out, buddy. Here we come." During Kathy's next set, Eddie remarks, "You know, Mark and Paula, and Johnson, and Braden, and everyone else are all working out too. Maybe even harder than we are." After hearing that, Kathy, who just finished her last rep, keeps going. After her set, Kathy tells Eddie, "They may be working out, but definitely not harder than me." During Eddie's set, Kathy is doing squats with dumbbells, waiting for her turn on the squat rack. Kathy tells Eddie, "You know, McCrutchen could be working out too." After his set, Eddie replies, "If he was the fastest guy around, I'd still beat him. I'll just tell him his lane is not level, and he'll lose." Kathy replies, "Yeah, you're right about that." After Eddie and Kathy's great workout, Eddie's mom asks Kathy if she wants to stay for dinner. Kathy calls her mom to make sure it's okay. Kathy and Eddie are happy because Kathy can stay for dinner. Eddie's brother tells Kathy, "Hey, you're getting big." Kathy flexes her biceps, telling him, "Yeah. Take a look, buddy. But I got a whole lot more work to do." Eddie's mother asks, "More work?" Kathy replies, "Everyone's working out, and I can't lose any ground." Eddie then mentions, "The competition is going to be a lot more savage next year." Eddie's mother asks, "Savage? How is track savage?" Eddie replies, "It's all the Amazon women that are trying out for the team." Kathy replies, "Not only women, but Amazon men too." Eddie asks, "Like who?" Kathy replies, "The javelin guy, what's his name? Johnny Spears." Getting the giggles again, Kathy mentions, "Okay, we got to stop this now. I know where this is going." Eddie replies, "Okay. But, you know it's not over. Just wait until spring." While they are waiting for dinner, Eddie asks Kathy, "Hey, do you want to see something?" Kathy replies, "Sure." Eddie tells her, "Come with me." Eddie goes into the garage and shows Kathy the engine to his MGB. He tells her, "I got the engine finished the other day. The next thing to do is to put the engine back in the car. And I got a new clutch and a new overdrive box." Kathy exclaims, "Wow. The engine looks brand new." Eddie tells her, "I completely rebuilt it." Kathy asks, "When did you have time to do that?" Eddie replies, "I work on it a half hour a day on average, mostly after dinner when it's not a good time to work out. The time all adds up." Kathy mentions, "Yeah, like working out. It all adds up." They hear Eddie's mom tell them that dinner is ready, and they go inside to eat. After dinner, Kathy and Eddie hang around for a while. Kathy asks Eddie, "So, what are we doing for our after-dinner workout?" Eddie replies, "Nothing. We worked out enough today." Kathy asks, "So, when do we work out next?" Eddie replies, "Well, you can swim laps in your pool before school. Or, we can go for a bicycle ride." Kathy tells him, "Yeah. Maybe I'll swim some laps. I'll do the breaststroke and work my upper body." Eddie tells her, "Check the skimmers for dead frogs before you swim." Kathy tells him, "Yeah. I'm keeping on top of that now. No worries there." Since it's a school night, Kathy has to head home. They kiss each other goodnight, and Kathy drives home.